have a silent prayer. Amen. In Jesus' name, we begin our hymnal session. Let us all sing hymn 388. Sing hymn 388. The next hymn, sing hymn 271. Sing hymn 271.
Thank you.
Hymn 377, sing hymn 377. Session ends here. All glory to God. Let us prepare our hearts for the service.
Let's all say a silent prayer. Amen. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we commence our Friday evening service. Let's sing hymn 155.
Just
give thanks to our Lord Jesus Christ. And now we shall all say our first prayer. In our prayer, we ask our Lord Jesus Christ to guide and lead us in this service. Shall we now, in one accord, in the name of Jesus, kneel down to pray. Amen. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I speak. First and foremost, we give all the glory and praise to our Lord God in heaven, that on the beginning of the Sabbath, all of us are able to gather for this online service. We also send greetings to all our ministers, brothers and sisters, friends and relatives. This evening, we would like to share on this topic, the wishes and prayers of Moses. Where in the life of Moses, it is filled with personal experiences. Where he stayed in the first 40 years of his life in the palace, and he had enjoyed the status in the palace as well as the luxuries of the flesh. And the next 40 years of his life, he spent as a shepherd. That was his occupation. And from the age of 80 to 120 years old, he passed life in the wilderness and had gone through everything of the life of the Israelites. And he became the leader of the Israelites to pass through the great and terrible wilderness. Therefore, in the spiritual journal of the life of Moses was filled with pages where his spiritual experience was that he was able to speak with God face to face. He was also considered to be a friend of God, for he had seen the glory of the Lord God. And by his hands, God also performed many wonders. That's why he was known as the man of God. He also wrote the first five books of the Old Testament, which is also known as the Laws of Moses or as Pentateuch, which today form the foundation of the Judaism. Therefore, his spiritual journey was abundant. But, dear brothers and sisters, for Moses, what was his perspective of life? And what is his understanding and pursuit of life today? So if we were to compare with us today, what did he pursue that we did not pursue? So first of all, let's turn to the Bible. Let's see Psalms 90 from verses 3 to 11. Psalms 90 from verses 3 to 11. Psalms 90 from verses 3 to 11. Here, this is the perspective of life of the man of God, where everyone looks at life differently, having a different understanding and concept. Therefore, the man of God would look at life from the perspective of God. He looks at it thoroughly, as well as in-depth, as well as perfect and accurate will he view it. First of all, the first reality. Let's see Psalms 90, verse 3. Psalms 90, verse 3. You have said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David, my servant. So if we were to see verse 4, Psalms 90, we see verse 3 again. Verse 3. You return man to dust and say, return, O children of men. Verse 4. For 1,000 years in your sight are but yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. 5. You sweep them away as with a flood, they are like a dream, like grass they are, that is renewed in the morning. So if you were to see from verses 3, 4, 5, 7, 8, 9, and 11, all here it mentions about the word you or your. Meaning to say, many a times this you actually refer to the Lord God in heaven. Many times we thought that we could live a life apart from God, where we are able to live independently. But we forget that God is in control and is present in every moment of life, where God controls in certain parts of life that man does not know. So in certain aspects of life, we become ignorant of God. And the most fearful of it is that we are ignorant of our own ignorance. And as a result, we look at certain things and cease to look further from that point in which we are in. Come back to verse 3. Psalms 90, verse 3. You return man to dust and say, return, O children of men. So here it says, you turn man to dust. Or in certain versions, it mentions, you turn man to destruction. So we can see here the choice of words that was being used was severe. That was total destruction. Therefore, God wants us to return, and at the end, we return to destruction. No matter how successful you can be, or whatever achievement you have attained, when death comes, it is total destruction. All that we have, everything that we have and know, will be destroyed. This is the act of God, and no one can avoid and turn away from this destruction. Therefore, what is the value of man's life then? The value of man's life is not measured by physical body, for the physical body will be totally destroyed one day. For when the body is totally destroyed and returns to dust, it is worthless altogether. Let's see verse 4. Psalms 90, verse 4. For 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. So here it says, for 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday. The Bible described to us, or tell us, the oldest man that lived in history was 969 years. And in another 31 years, it will be 1,000 years, almost 10 centuries. But today, in the eyes of God, it is likened to a day. During the times of Moses, men actually lived up to the age of 70 to 80, like us today. But it is not even one-tenth of the 969 years. So this verse actually describes to us the brevity, the shortness of our human life. Now we continue to see verse 5. You sweep them away as with a flood. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. You carry them away like a flood. So men have not the able to resist the strength of the flood and will carry them away. Because man's life is continually moving forward like the flood. Once it goes and takes away, there is no more point of return. Therefore, there is no second chance in the life of man. It is also likened to a sleep, having a dream. When we are about to leave this world, we will realize all of the pursuits of life is likened to a dream. All are only emptiness. Therefore, the Bible continues to tell us that man's life is also likened to flower and grass. Let's see verse 6. Verse 5, the lower portion. Like grass that is renewed in the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening, it fades and withers. So when it passes bloom, just like during spring, flowers look so beautiful, but after which its value would slowly decline. Man's life has its peak and decline. In the prime time of a man's life, for example, at the age of 20, 30, or even 40, this is the peak of life. More often than not, a peak actually marks the beginning of decline and fall. Where previous generations would not be remembered by the present generation. Similarly, what the future generation has done would also not be known by the present generation. For we are all like flowers and grass, where we will flourish and will die. So this is under the doings and acts of God, where it is all beyond our control, that our life is no longer in our own hands, that we are not able to control it. Even though man's life is short, but ultimately man would return to dust. And when we die, it is the end. Then death is no longer so dreadful. Therefore, there is always a saying, no matter how long or everlasting it may be, everything would come to an end. We just emphasize, if let's say today we die, nothing will matter anymore. So this type of saying, we can see it reflects that we have not fully comprehended what really life is. Let's see verse 7. Psalms 90 verse 7. For we are brought to an end by your anger, by your wrath we are dismayed. So here it says, we have been consumed by the anger of God. Today, we are actually living under the wrath of the unseen God. Just like in the Bible, in the book of Numbers chapter 22, from verses 22 to 40. Here it talks about a prophet by the name of Balaam, where he sat on the donkey and on his way to a city to curse it. But the donkey would not move on. So when the donkey was whipped, the donkey sat down instead. So God cannot be seen. The wrath of God cannot be seen. But the reality still remains that today we are living under the wrath of God, for we are in sin. If this fact is not resolved, man's life is cursed. So with the physical body today that we have, we cannot see God with our naked eyes. And when we leave this physical body and see the wrath of God, it is already too late. Because at that time, we have to face the judgment of God. We cannot say we live by our conscience and we have no sin at all. So what is sin? So sin is something that we have disobeyed the commands of God, the commandments of God. It's just likened that we have gone astray from our target. So this target is the commands of God. And if one go beyond this target or go beyond this line, this is already considered sin. Therefore, let's see verse 8. Psalms 90 verse 8. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. We have committed secret sins, all presumptuous sins that others do not know. But in the eyes of God, all will be made known and presented to him. And here the scripture tells us secret sins. So these secret sins, even we ourselves do not know we have committed this sin. Therefore today, as members, as children of God, we need to continually confess and repent before God. That's why sometimes in the night as we go back to sleep or go into our rest, we say our prayer. So in our prayer, we examine what we have done the whole day, whether what we have done is pleasing in the eyes of God or not. And it seems that God is very violent or very brutal in the Old Testament. There was once a member who said, "Preacher, when I read the Bible, when I read the New Testament, I find the stories of Jesus so interesting. He is filled with mercy and compassion. But yet, when I read the Old Testament, it seems it is all the more filled with killings and fightings. And the punishment of God is very clearly recorded from the book of Genesis to the book of Malachi. Very clearly seems that God seems to be violent, to kill the people, to send punishment upon those who disobey him, have gone against him. And this punishment of God comes swiftly. But actually, God in the Old Testament or in the New Testament is the same, because God's wrath have been poured down. And the entire world would have perished with this wrath of God. But in the New Testament, this same Lord God gave grace to mankind. And that through the salvation that is brought by Jesus, today we have received this grace of God. Therefore, today we can see, even though we are actually living in the wrath of God, but on one hand, we are also under the wonderful grace of our Lord, telling us that we are indeed under his blessings. Then we continue to see verse 9. Psalms 90, verse 9. For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. So we are actually living under the wrath of God daily. But on the other hand, we are also living under his grace, because we are his beloved children. Now we continue to see verse 11. Psalms 90, verse 11. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? So the anger of God is likened to a power. Man can be ignored, but when the anger of God comes, we cannot avoid it. Many do not know about this. Hence, man must fear God all the more. For they fail to understand that one day the wrath of God will come upon them. So what is life today to us? What is life? Life is only as recorded in verse 10. Let's see Psalms 90, verse 10. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their spent is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone and we fly away. So what do we boast about in our life? We only boast of labor. That is to say, physical torture, physical suffering, as well as sorrow that is in our soul, in our mental self. Today, from the day we were born until the very day we leave this world, we pass a life filled with anxiety. That's why our Lord Jesus has spoken in Matthew chapter 6, as he mentioned the teachings on the Mount, the Sermon on the Mount, he tells us not to worry. And later, apostles like Paul and Peter, they also continually encourage the believers not to worry, to cast their cares and worries to the Lord God. When we were born, we are worried about this, about that. When we go to school, we worry about our education. And then later, as we go on to the next phase of our life, when we work, where are we going to work? What are we going to do? And now, with this pandemic which is going on throughout the world, men's worry will be on the increasing trend. And after which, when man enters into his next phase of life, that is his married life, he or she will be worried about their future spouses and their future life, their family. Until they are old, they are worried about sicknesses, about what will happen to them when they leave this world. So we can see that in a man's life, it is a continual process of anxiety. Therefore, the scripture continues to tell us, it is soon cut off. We are soon gone and we fly away. So this is actually how the life is viewed upon by this man of God, Moses. Of course, we can say this is a very pessimistic way of looking in this life. For life indeed is filled with tragedy, but it is not completely hopeless. Just like right now when we face this COVID-19, people will say, why my life has come to this stage? Why this life is a life that is tragedy-filled? But yet, we still find it is not completely hopeless if we were to come before the Lord God, our Lord Jesus Christ. So in verse 2, Psalms 90, verse 2. Verse 2, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. So there is indeed a God. So from the existence of the universe, from the existence of life, we are able to see that God really exists. We can really experience and see that this true God exists. From the creation of the world, we can see that God is really there. And from our Lord Jesus, He has all the more made known the features of our Lord God. Let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 10. The book of Jeremiah chapter 10, from verses 12 to 13. Jeremiah chapter 10, verses 12 to 13. It is He who made the earth by His power, who established the world by His wisdom, and by His understanding stretched out the heavens. Verse 13. When He utters His voice, there is a tumult of waters in the heavens, and He makes the mist rise from the ends of the earth. He makes lightning for the rain, and He brings forth the wind from His storehouses. So here, this is a portrayal or a description of the Lord God, where He uses His strength to manifest Himself, where He establishes the world by His wisdom. He is almighty and He has the answer to everything. That's why the Bible also tells us God is the way, the truth, and the life, where He has also shown us in everything of our life, in any difficulty we face, we are not afraid, for the Lord God is with us. And the Lord God too is a loving God. But what is the response of man towards this life? Since we have seen that the Lord God is almighty, the Lord God is all-present, and the Lord God is all-knowing. But how do we respond to life when we have this Lord God? Let's come back to Psalms 90, verse 1. Psalms 90, verse 1. Lord, You have been our dwelling place in all generations. Therefore, the Lord not only lived in heavens, but we want to have communion with You, living under the power of God, under the wisdom, under the love of God. Because God can end all the tragedies of life. Therefore, it is important for us to seek after Him. Therefore, during this time, we can see many people have started to seek after this Lord God. Because the Lord God is the one who is able to provide an answer. During this time, when the pandemic is on, everybody is asking this question: when will it end? When will it, a vaccine will be found? No one knows. Only God knows. No one knows when Jesus will come again. Only the Lord God Himself. Only our Lord Jesus knows. So that is why during this period of time, very importantly, let us seize hold of this opportunity to seek after Him.
with all our heart, through prayer, through reading the Bible, that we are able to draw nearer and nearer to God. So we continue to see Psalms 90. So in Psalms 90, after we have understood this life, after we have understood what Moses saw in this life, or what he had gained because of this understanding of life, and how did he recognize his life? So Moses made requests. That is from verses 13 to 17. Where at that time Moses altogether had 6 requests. And all this was due to his understanding or due to his recognition of life. We have much to request for God in our prayer. But have we asked God for wisdom? Let's see Psalms 90 verse 12. Psalms 90 verse 12. So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. So the first thing that the man of God, as we can see in verse Psalms 90, here it says in the title, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. So indeed, Moses was different from the people. He was the man of God. He was one who sought after the Lord God. Today, as a man of God, what did he do? The first thing he asked was he asked for a heart of wisdom. So what is faith? We have already seen that faith is a journey. Faith is a journey. When we talk about a journey, it can be calculated via distance or by time. And this journey of faith, from the viewpoint of the Israelites, especially from Egypt to Canaan, it was more than 1,000 miles away. So by the second year, they had already reached the land of Canaan. But they had to wander in the wilderness for approximately 40 years. Why? Because God had lengthened their journey. Because God felt that they needed further training. From the time we believe in God till the time when we go to heaven, it differs from one another. Some people may take 30 years or even 90 years. But what is needed to complete this journey? Wisdom. Secondly, the second fact we can see, 600,000 men in the book of Exodus chapter 12 tells us they left Egypt. But at the end, only 2 entered the promised land. When they crossed the Red Sea, there was a great time of celebration and joy and heart thanksgiving they left. But after they left, many of them actually died in the wilderness. And Moses called this group of people as infants, as children. Where they do not have wisdom, they are not able to know how to discern or to judge. So as a result, one after another died in the wilderness. Today, let us ask ourselves, how many are baptized in the church? How many have received the Holy Spirit? How many have experienced God? Many may have seen visions, but where are they now? Many have fallen. Why? Because they lack in wisdom. So in the walk of faith today, there are many challenges that await us. So what does this represent to us? Many fail because they could not withstand these challenges, and as a result, they fail. Let's see some of these examples. Let's turn to Psalms 106. Psalms 106 from verses 14 to 40. So here, the author, after he mentioned concerning the wonderful working of God, the wonderful grace of God that they have received. So continue, the author tells us of the failure of the people of Israel. So this becomes a warning to us. That's why today as we read the scripture, we take it as a mirror to reflect upon our life of faith today. Why did they fail? Let's see verse 14. But they had a wanton craving in the wilderness and put God to test in the desert. So the first thing is that they wanted too much. They did not control their lust and desire. But instead, this lust and desire of theirs controlled them instead. So their wants and wishes went beyond the Bible. So they actually tested God because they continually asked from God. So when they complained against God, they actually tested God. So in the people of Israel at that time, They also murmured against Moses and Aaron. When there was no water, when there was no food, they continually complained and grumbled and even wanted to hit Moses or even to kill him. So when they complained against God at that time, the Bible tells us, it was likened to them testing the Lord God. So finally, what did the Lord God do? Verse 15. He gave them what they asked, but sent a wasting disease among them. So God gave them to their request. So God knows the best for us. At times, we may have fasted and prayed for it so long. So finally, God gave it to us at our request. But it may not be necessarily be the best for us. And then here, we can see that there are certain Bibles that say there is a sense of leanness among them. This leanness means a skinny or lack of flesh. So God fulfilled their request. But because of this, their faith became very weak. So if we enjoy today, every day, because of this enjoyment of the flesh, but this resulted in the weakening of our spirituality. So today we must control ourselves in the enjoyment of the flesh. We need wisdom to have our spirituality to be strengthened. So that is why wisdom for us is so important. Every decision that we do, we need to see the standard and the measurement that is given by Jesus to see whether we are fulfilling it or not. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, from verses 37 to 39. Matthew chapter 24, verses 37 to 39. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark. 39. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. So here it tells us, Jesus mentioned here twice, so also will the coming of the Son of Man. In the lower portion of verse 37, as well as in the lower portion of verse 39. So isn't anything wrong with eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage? In fact, this was the blessing of God. But the focus of their lives was only upon eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage, was to the extent that it affected their spiritual life, or our spiritual life becomes blurred. And we are not able to feel anything about it anymore. So this is dangerous. So their heart, from their focus points, we can see, it was no longer on the matters of God, but rather on the things of the world. So if all these activities of life, they take over the priority of our life, then our spirituality will start to decline. Therefore, we do not admire or envy those who have high living standards, but we admire those who have a high way of living, and at the same time, they have also a high spirituality. So after some time, the spirituality of this group of people will slowly decline. So the best way of life with guarantee is that we must be simple in nature, that is to emulate, to follow the life of Jesus. The people came to Jesus at that time, and what did they say? They looked at him and said that he was one who was not normal, because he came eating and drinking, that they even called him a glutton, a wine bibber. But why did Jesus come eating and drinking, where he had everything in heaven? But in the midst of it, he could even come into contact with many sinners and could even bring them back. This is recorded in Matthew chapter 11, verses 19. So if the kingdom of God is realized within our hearts, we would truly be satisfied, and the pursuance of the material things in the world will be reduced. Then we can only be able to pass a simple way of life. But when one's heart is empty, there are actually two ways that one will go upon. Firstly, he will find something outside to stimulate him. For example, eating, drinking, marrying and giving in marriage as a stimuli in his life. Secondly, they also can find satisfaction in the Lord God. And when many people, when they experience emptiness of life, they look for the world to satisfy themselves, rather than to look for the problems in our spirituality that cause this feeling of emptiness. Therefore, Jesus is our wisdom. So we can see, in fact, there is a conflict between wisdom and rationality, where we use wisdom to face such knowledge. When in the society today, there is no God, there is no sense of fulfillment. However, if we were to choose to follow this way of the world, our faith would backslide. And the challenges of human life is not only sick or not having any job, but rather the challenge is that when we have everything, then we pass a very good life. We are able to have a good life. This is a challenge, and the challenge too is great. Therefore, today, we ought to use wisdom to pass our life. Next, we see Psalms. Let's come back to Psalms 106. So in Psalms 106, from verses 16 to 18. Psalms 106, from verses 16 to 18. When men in the camp were jealous of Moses and Aaron, the Holy One of the Lord, the earth opened and swallowed up Dathan. And verse 17, the earth uncovered the company of Abiram. Verse 18, fire also broke out in their company, the flame burned up the wicked. So here we can see there was a group of people who could not finish the journey in the wilderness. Why? Because they were envious of Moses. Because they were not satisfied with him. They were envious of him. So it was God who used Moses. So God finally testified of Moses at the end. So the earth swallowed them and they disappeared from the journey in the wilderness. So today, many of those who do not come to church, many of these reasons, and out of these many, many reasons, they give the excuse that they are not satisfied with certain people in the church or even the church as a whole. So today, why do we come to the church? The church is not a club. That's what Jesus said. It is the sick who need the doctor in Mark chapter 2, verse 17. So today, the sickness that inflicts us is the issue of sin. And the goal of going to church is to attain salvation from this body that is a church. Therefore, the results of those who are consistently dissatisfied with the church, their consequences are terrible. But that does not mean that we who are active goers are very righteous, so-called righteous. So to solve interpersonal relationship problems in the church, we need wisdom. The next point, we come to see Psalms 106. Psalms 106, we see verses 19 to 20. Verse 19. They made a calf in Horeb and worshipped a metal image. They exchanged the glory of God for the image of an ox that eats grass. So here it says, they changed the glory of God and turned him into the image of an ox who eats grass. They worship the golden calf. When we use things replacing God, we are actually lowering the standard of God to that of an animal. And this is something that God cannot accept. Today, what is the golden calf in our life? They are the things that replace the place of God. As what Jesus says in Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters. Money is important, but the grace of God is the one that is able to provide to the needs of our livelihood, which is sufficient for our daily needs. So what is the position of God today? So what is the manifestation of a matured faith? Dear brothers and sisters, that is to say, we need to have self-control towards our pursuits of life today. This is wisdom. Therefore, we need to admire those who have self-control. Fourthly, verse 24 to 26. Psalms 106, verses 24 to 26. Then they despised the pleasant land, having no faith in his promise. Verse 25. They murmured in his tents and did not obey the voice of the Lord. Therefore, he raised his hand and swore to them that he would make them fall in the wilderness. So they continued in the journey because they were fixed on a hope, that is to inherit a land flowing with milk and honey. So what is our goal of life? Irrespective of what difficulty we face, are we able to prioritize our lives to know what is important, to know what is not so important? Then we continue to see verse 39 to 40. Verse 39. Thus they became unclean by their acts and played the whore in their deeds. 40. Then the anger of the Lord was kindled against his people, and he abhorred his heritage. So when the people of Israel walked in the wilderness, they also committed sexual immorality, where finally Phinehas intervened. As we can see in verse 30, Psalms 106, verse 30, then Phinehas stood up and intervened, and the plague was stayed. So we can see Phinehas intervened, and the Lord caused the plague to cease. So today in our life, in this world, especially now, we can see this: the media that we watch, the media that we see, is filled with sexual contents, and it will continually fill the thoughts, especially of the people today who have evil intentions. So as a result, their conscience become numb. They are not willing to listen to the word of God because this will cause them to have a sense of sin. Therefore, we need wisdom to avoid all these things and to continue our journey in the wilderness. We thank our Lord Jesus Christ. Our encouragement shall end here. Now let's sing our second hymn, 307. Hymn 307. To our Lord Jesus. Now we shall say our concluding prayer. So in our prayer, we give thanks and praise to our Lord God in heaven that we are able to gather here to listen to the word of God.
At the same time, we also pray for one another. We pray for the church. Shall we now, in one accord, in the name of Jesus, kneel down to pray?
In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Alleluia.
Our service shall end here. All glory to God. Peace to all of you. Amen.